The title today's study is It Is Time to Seek the Lord, taken from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. One of the items that the United Kingdom government has constantly been asking of late by the media and folk while on lockdown is, when and how will the lockdown be released? Everyone, especially the businesses all around the world, have been grossly hit through the shutdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic. We know the government will not unlock the country until the pandemic is well under control, when this evil disease is almost eradicated or a powerful vaccine becomes available. It's all about timing. We read those words in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. We also read in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 6, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. When God first created the heavens and the earth, we read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. God is a God of order. He has everything taken place at the appointed time. We marvel at the way God has positioned the sun, moon and stars and the galaxies. They're all in their rightful place, yet so wonderfully move to set times. David describes the beauty in God's glory in the universe. Psalm 8, verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foes of the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. During this lockdown, time has changed its priorities. Before the lockdown, everyone was dashing around, purchasing new gadgets, be it to run the home more efficiently or wear a gadget to tell them how they are monitoring their time or health to keep fit. Yet in all this, it is giving many folk more time, yet they have that passion to drive themselves even more faster. Immediately after the shutdown, you look down a street that is bare of people rushing around, no vehicles around clogging up and polluting the air. With no transport and no one rushing around, there is a quiet, a stillness. We have time and start to appreciate the glory of nature that God has given us to enjoy. There is a peace and quiet, something many folk have been wishing for. I again stop to consider the wonderful love and compassion of the doctors and nurses, as well as all those folk who are working so hard and spending long hours to attend the needy. They still need time to rest and recharge their batteries. I think of the words of a poem written by William Henry Davis, who had a godly grandmother, yet most of his life was a tramp, and then grew up to fame with this poem. What is this life if, full of care, we have no time to stand and stare? No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep or cows? No time to see, when woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass? No time to see in broad daylight, streams full of stars like skies at night? No time to turn at beauty's glance and watch her feet, how they can dance? No time to wait till her mouth can enrich that smile her eyes began. A poor life this is. if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. In the Bible we read about Solomon, who was the wisest man on earth, yet he must have had time to stand and stare, study of the wonder of God's creation. We read in 1 Kings 4:29 to 34, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sands on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Kilcol, and Derda, the sons of Mehom. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Notice what we read in verse 33. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. I ask myself, while God gave wisdom all this insight, I just wonder, did Solomon spend a good deal of time taking in, observing, and discovering much of nature by just spending time watching and listening? Sadly, I meet fellow Christians who say they do not have time to pray or read their Bible. They do not have time with God. How we need to heed what the Bible says when Satan challenged Jesus in Matthew 4:4, which is a quotation from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 8:3, which reads, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." As well as natural food, we need spiritual food as well to nourish our souls. During my teenage years living and working on a family farm, summer was an enjoyable season. Occasionally I would rise early at 4:30 a.m. on a glorious June morning as the sun was rising and take a walk into the fields. This was an age when in general only the emergency service would be doing their night shift. Most folk would be still home in bed asleep. The spirits of folk would be silent. There was a warm, calm, spiritual atmosphere in the air. As I stood and meditated in the field, I was on my own, but I did not feel alone. I felt the warmth of the sun on my back and a warm glow in my spirit. I would love to walk among the fresh mown hay as it was drying. As the morning progressed, soon the sun began to glisten and heat up the lime-green blades of hay. I would hear the crackling of the drying stalks. The heat of the sun would lift the moisture of the dew. I would smell the aroma of the hay. Listening to the hay crackling, I would hear the flies and insects buzzing around me, swallows and swifts diving overhead, catching the insects for their young. In those moments, I did have time to stop and stare, but in those moments, I was able, by the Holy Spirit living in me, to feel God's presence. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." The world is falling more and more into sin, but everything is even getting faster with no time for anything, especially the things of God. In the book of Genesis 2, 8 and 9, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then in verse 15 we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." In order to experience God's presence, we have to isolate ourselves to stop and spend time from the busyness and negative spiritual atmosphere of life all around us in order to allow God's holy presence to meet with us. When we do, we can truly experience the peace and presence of His love. We will experience the warm sunshine of His love in our hearts. We will smell the sweet aroma of His presence, and above everything, to hear His voice. Yet there are many folk around the world who are on lockdown and are suffering untold grief as a result of losing a loved one. They may have to stand and stare, but no, they will be overwhelmed with grief. Their world will have stopped in a different kind of way. I can understand a little the grief and loneliness my wife Chris experienced as a result of losing her first husband. A young mother of 38, having to bring up two teenage boys on her own. Her world stopped. Her grief captivated her whole being. She was unable to think why and how to move forward. Life stopped for her. Chris, at the age of 16, had asked Jesus to be her saviour and friend. She needed him to help in this deep time of sorrow. She did have good, loving, kind friends in her church who would feel God prompting them. They knew when Chris was needing help. Chris would get a phone call or a knock on the door saying, "God has prompted me to get in contact with you." It was always when Chris was at a time of special need. We read some of God's promises in Psalm 68, verse 5. "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling." Psalm 147, verse 3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." One verse in the Bible became a strong word of encouragement and support for Chris. It is found in Isaiah 54, verse 5. "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name." I think of a lovely poem which reminds us when we are going through deep trials. Jesus Himself is there to carry us through. The title of the poem is "Footsteps in the Sand." "One night I dreamt a dream. As I was walking along the beach with the Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed there are many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, You said once I decided to follow You, You'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there were only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I need You the most, You would leave me." He whispered, "My precious child, I love You and will never leave You. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-29, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." One of Chris's Christian friends, some 2 years after the loss of her husband, invited her down to Lee Abbey for a retreat. One evening, in an evening service, she felt the presence of God in a very powerful way and experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. A joy and a peace came over her and filling her empty heart and healing it because it was broken. She went the next day into a small summer house in the garden of the abbey on a warm, bright, sunny day to praise God for all he had done. She felt led to walk up one of the hills near the abbey. She felt God's pride and pleasure at his creation. At the top of the hill, as she looked over the landscape, appreciating how much God loved all his creation and gave her his love for all people, and felt the warmth of the Holy Spirit filling her heart and soul, she returned home full of joy of the Holy Spirit within her. Because of that newfound relationship with her friend Jesus, she felt God calling her to Bible college. Some years later, when Chris and I first met, we discovered we both had a heart for mission. We were both supporting Christian Romania, where we're still serving today. Chris calls to mind a hymn based on the Song of Solomon, which beautifully sums up God's love, and how our hearts and minds will be open up to the new insight into the wonderful world of nature we live in. It is what she experienced that day at Lee Abbey, particularly the second verse. It reads, "Loved with an everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, you have taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Heaven above is softer blue. Earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder song o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know as now I know, I am his, and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarm cannot now disturb my rest. Clothed in everlasting arms, pillowed on his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self resigned, while he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. Is forever only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine." Let us now read the first three verses of Psalm 23. I've been a Christian for 63 years and very familiar with Psalm 23. Although it only contains six verses, yet each time I read it, I am always able to glean something new in this so-loved chapter. Let us hear it again. Psalm 23, 1-3. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." We see in these three short verses discipline on God's part as well as free will on our part. We can understand why David says in the next verse, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God sometimes uses the rod of correction or the staff to support and guide us. Often, I have not heeded the advice to slow down and rest as I see pressing situations ahead. I am not willing to stop and recharge my batteries and allow my battery to recover. So we can understand what David means in verse 2. He makes me to lie down. God sometimes uses his rod to caution us. Back in the spring of 1999, I fell ill to an illness called ME, or CFS. which means chronic fatigue syndrome. My wife Chris and I were enjoying the many activities we were involved in, particularly in connection with our church we were then attending. I had a good job. I was a successful freelance financial consultant in a large multinational engineering company in the UK who had been struggling in seeing their profits deteriorate year on year. My job was to access why that was happening and highlight how the situation could be changed for the better. Chris and I were leading one of the weekly house group or Bible study groups in the church. At the weekend, we were attending a weekly training session for Christian counselling. Each week, we were also visiting a rehab centre for drug and alcoholic dependent young men, taking them through a Bible-based training course to lead them off drugs and alcohol. Then I noticed my memory beginning to let me down. I was unable to describe things, although a picture of them was vividly in my mind. I knew something was wrong. I so needed a holiday, so we decided to take a 2-week holiday in Yorkshire. On the first day, we loaded our rucksack and set out for a long walk in the Yorkshire Dales. I had not gone far before my legs gave way. I collapsed. It took 2 hours for me to be able to get on my feet and struggle back to our lodgings. Chris had to drive us back home after the holiday. A fever developed which seemed like a flu and lasted for some months. I ended up staying in bed for 2 years. It took between 6 to 8 years before I felt anything like I did before the illness struck. Praise God, today, after nearly 20 years, I am in good health and making sure I look after myself and allow Him to guide me. The words of David are so true. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. We learn through our trials. Nothing is wasted. We become stronger, wiser, and able to carry out the task God sets before each one of us with great ability. We need to be wise to allow ourselves time to rest and restore our energy, both physically and spiritually. Let us finish with reading the words of a hymn, "We Rest on Thee, Our Shield and Our Defender." We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in Thy strength, safe in Thy keeping tender, we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go. Yea, in Thy name, O Captain of Salvation, in Thy dear name, all other names above, Jesus our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of Glory, and our King of Love. We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day Thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumphs pealing, we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go. We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, Thine shall be the praise. When reigning in the kingdom of Thy splendour, victors, we rest with Thee through endless days. Amen.